You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not going to take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, Dante, if I really would, but the feeling in my head, it's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a window, throwing a shot into the water, and I'd like to give you information, asking for what blood makes noise. It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise, and I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Good Sunday evening, everybody, and welcome to another exciting edition of the Common Sense Show. I am your host, Dave Hodges, and we are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. We got a terrific show for you tonight. Hour one, did a quick pre-record earlier in the week with Patrick Wood, and oh man, are we in some trouble. And hour two, Steve Quayle, going to be talking about the conference and current events. And hour number three, Dane Wigington, and there is some breaking news on geoengineering that you're not going to want to miss. This pre-record I did with Pat a few days ago is lengthy, so we need to jump right to it. Go ahead, Todd. This is Dave Hodges of the Common Sense Show, and we are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. On the newsmaker line with me is Pat Wood, and we've had Pat on a number of times, and we talk about Agenda 21 and smart grid and technocracy and that whole genre. But this field is moving forward so quickly, and there's so many developments, we have to have Pat on every so often for a booster shot of knowledge. Pat, welcome to the show. Glad you could join us.
Hey, it's good to be here, Dave. Thanks.
Well, there's a lot going on right now with regard to technocracy and the loss of control of our energy use. I'm just going to kind of throw it to you, and you kind of point the way, and I'll follow.
Well, one of the things that I'm impressed with right now is the rising level of resistance against not only the government with technology, but also against big tech, what we call big tech. That's the companies that some of them are in Silicon Valley, like the Facebooks and the Googles and the Twitters and whatever, Microsoft even. And there is a significant pushback all across across the ordinary people, as well as even up to the global elite. There seems to be a pushback. This is new. There wasn't any criticism of Google or Facebook or any of these a year ago. You just didn't hear it. I mean, privately, you might. You know, people would mutter about Google under their breath, you know, wanting to control the world and stuff. But there was nothing of a public nature that came out about it. But that's changing. There's lots of people talking about regulating big tech now. I'm not sure that's how to handle it, but I'm just saying there's a lot of people talking about it now, including in the government. Some senators and congressmen are talking about it. Some members of the global elite are talking about it.
Yeah, I know that George Soros jumped in at Davos and just vilified Facebook and Google and essentially just accused them of doing everything negative to their participants. But, you know, Pat, I don't know what the global elite are unhappy about with Google and Facebook. First of all, they're unregulated monopolies, and they practice censorship, which is illegal under antitrust laws.
Yeah.
And it's just a matter until enough people get pissed off enough that they're going to sue them in mass. And the lawsuit's already starting. I think it's going to take about 50,000 people total suing to raise the kind of money you got to take on Google. Mm-hmm. But they censor so badly right now on Google, Facebook, you know, with YouTube and Twitter. What do they want them to do? Just basically 86 everyone who's conservative? Well, then they're going to start a new platform, and the advertisers will follow, because they'll follow the masses.
They will. You're absolutely right. And, you know, my guess is when they get enough political pressure and pressure from people, they will be forced to change their profile. And, you know, is that the thing I worry about, especially with Google, is there will come a point when their AI is so powerful that it can't be controlled. That kind of bothers me a little bit. Well, and it may be close to that critical mass right now.
They control 80% of all searches. Let me give you an example of how they work on the CommonSenseShow.com website. I used to get about 20% of my organic traffic mm-hmm. from Google. Now mm-hmm. I get less than
0.5%. Yeah. Wow.
So they're already doing it. And I'm not alone. They hit my friend Steve Quayle and Doug Hagman. Mm-hmm. And they're after anybody who's not liberal and leftist.
That's right. And their AI programs can do a darn good job. There's not people, there's not individuals, pushing a delete button on your site. It's all being done by AI.
There is some human involvement. That's been shown in Twitter experiments. And also my own anecdotal experience, Pat. Let me give you an example. I'll put 10 videos out a day, short subject areas, kind of like a news show. And they'll demonetize 6 or 7. I hit the appeal button. 5 days later, all of them are remonetized, but they know the traffic is gone. And also, on about half the videos they demonetize for not being advertiser-friendly, they'll advertise.
Yeah.
So they'll take my video and go, that's not advertising-friendly, demonetize. And then they'll advertise on my work.
Yeah.
So they're dirty, and that's human intervention. And I'll tell you another thing is when they demonetize me is if I take a YouTube video, put it in a story that's on the website and it's doing well, 2 days later after I've posted, they'll come back, oh, we got to take this out. No, we can't have this. And they'll remove the video or they'll demonetize it.
Yeah.
So I think there is a level of human involvement, but you're right, and they get you for silly things. I got demonetized for talking about why diet soda makes people fat.
For some strange reason.
It's crazy, but let me ask you this. Your expertise is technocracy. Mm-hmm. Is there a bridge between this gross censorship and technocracy?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. The mentality of technocrats going all the way back to the 1930s is that whatever they come up with is the only thing that exists. I've seen this over and over with this attitude. If it's not theirs, it just simply doesn't let exist. So if they have a political opinion, and by the way, they hate politicians in general. But if they have an opinion on something, or they've figured out scientifically something ought to be a certain way, that's it. It's settled. It's like what Al Gore says: the science is settled on climate warming, global warming. This is exactly the mentality that's spread to all these different areas. So, if people at Google have a certain mindset, liberal mindset, and you really can't call it liberal in the traditional sense. These people are quite—they're quite different. They're kind of progressive on one hand, but they're definitely technocrats. Many of them are into scientism, where science is the only thing that can produce any truth. And they have this view of the world that they believe is right, and everybody else is flat out wrong. So crush them. They don't matter. They're just. They're right, everybody else is wrong. And this is the way Google believes. This is the culture they've developed. It's their way or the highway.
When does Google become all-powerful, though? That's the thing that concerns me. I mean, they're almost there now. Let me give you an example. You have Amazon that dominates e-commerce. But Google, I think, will eventually win that war because they can basically block Amazon's traffic anytime they want.
They could. Absolutely right.
And that's why I think Google will rule everybody in every area. I think it'll be energy. I think they'll learn how to control voting machines if they don't already.
Yeah.
I mean, tell me I'm crazy here with this, okay? I mean, these advanced applications, can they do these things?
Yes, they can. They can. And the thing is, you don't know what's AI and what's human anymore. You really don't know. About a third of all the newspaper articles written are written by AI programs?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. You can't really tell. Often, especially when articles are short, like if they're only like 4 or 5 paragraphs long,
mm-hmm.
you can almost bet that that was not written by a human.
Hmm.
But if you examine the article carefully, you say, well, it looks like pretty good. You know, the word sentence makes sense, and, you know, paragraphs make sense, and the punctuation is right, and all that kind of stuff. But the idea of AI is to fool you. And it does a pretty good job.
In what way is their goal to fool you?
Well, they're creating a reality, kind of, you know, like you could compare it in parallel to like virtual reality or something. They're creating a reality for people that they want you to believe is the truth. It's kind of like the Matrix movie, right? They want you to believe one thing, but it really isn't that way. And they can actually kind of create a reality with AI, and you don't have a clue what you're looking at. Let me tell you what this Parag Khanna says. Dr. Parag Khanna is a global elite scholar. He's loved by the global elite. He's on, Fortune put him on, 10 years ago even, put him on the 75 most important people in the world. Parag Khanna. He's down in Singapore. And he's pro-globalization. He writes about globalization. He writes about connectivity and connecting this all the whole world together with supply chain and fiber optic and all this kind of stuff. And he made the most profound statement of any global elitist intellectual. This guy's as smart as Zbigniew Brzezinski, by the way, in my opinion. He said in one of his recent books, he said, we are building this global society without a global order or global leader. Global order is no longer something that could be dictated or controlled from the top down. Now, that's an admission right there, okay? The global order, what we look at as the New World Order, is no longer something that could be dictated from or controlled from the top down. And then he says, globalization is itself the order. Now, to me, that is just profound. Probably the most profound thing I've heard in several years. Because they're building the system up, Dave. That's what I'm trying to say. The system is being created that will corral people into a predetermined behavior. The system of things. Not people. The system. And AI is the tool to do that.
Let's explore this organizational pattern here you've laid out, because it's complex. So you're saying this isn't going to be managed from the top down as a traditional corporation with your stockholders and CEO, and that the movement is the process, essentially, mm-hmm. and that globalization is embedded at every level. Is that what I'm hearing?
That's exactly right. That's exactly what he's saying. And one of the buzzwords that I picked up on with Khanna's book, and once I was open to it, I see it everywhere. You'll see the word devolution. That's the opposite of evolution. Devolution, right? It means, or you see deconstructing is another word sometimes you see, but the favorite buzzword is devolution. And what that means is taking strong federal presence and pressing it out, dismantling it, and pressing it out into the masses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, into local communities, into states, into regions, into provinces or whatever, and get away from centralized government where people think that they're going to be like the dictator of the country or whatever, you know. And so in devolving the political institutions of the world, at the same time they're creating this system to catch all the control points and control people with the system. They don't need the political establishment anymore. They don't need the parliaments. They don't need the presidents. They don't need the senators or whatever it might be. Once they have those, once those people give up their grip, their political grip, if you will, traditional political grip, those people that they formerly had a grip on fall into the system to be controlled now and manipulated by the system. And that's what he means when he says globalization is itself the order. You'd have to read his whole book to get it. It's called Connectography by Dr. Parag Khanna.
Well, I think I get it, because I think what we're looking at here is the fact that these people are admitting they no longer need a deep state.
That's correct.
They just need the artificial intelligence.
That's exactly right. And I'm sure that the technocrats like Parag Khanna and maybe Eric Schmidt and other people at Google, I think they probably get this pretty well. But technocracy never needed politicians. They hated politicians from the get-go because they believed that they were incompetent, that they were bumbling fools. They didn't understand the technology that they're trying to manage. And by and large, that's really still true anyway, right? we say the same thing.
Yeah, it's true.
But when you see any program at this point where you see that the pressure on institutional government to pass power around, you know, pass political power out to whatever, you know, the people in the country, can we call it the populist movement?
I think it's an AI populist movement. Yeah, I think that's a good juxtaposition, Pat.
I don't think the populist movement does not have a clue what's going on here. I really don't think they do. And I don't think any of the leaders of the populist movement necessarily understand it either. They're the useful idiots right now. But they're pushing, the populist movement around the world is pushing this devolution to push power away from the strong hands into smaller hands, pieces, little pieces, slivers here and there. And then at the same time, this system is rising up to control the people. Just think about what Google is doing to control people. It's a propaganda machine, right?
Yeah. Oh,
they,
absolutely. Yeah.
They are manipulating, directly manipulating beliefs, emotions, predispositions of people with what they choose to put into the people's minds. And you control the people's minds, you control the people. You control what goes in, you can control the people. And so, you know, getting back to when we as constitutionalists would say, well, we need to get back to smaller government, and we need to have the federal government needs to pass power back to the state, which they had really the right to in the first place, but, you know, that's another story. But anybody that says that inadvertently is playing into the hands of these technocrats, because they're hoping for that. They want power decentralized so that they don't get resistance when the system comes for them. Remember the Borg?
Oh, yeah,
A Star Trek? We will assimilate.
Well, you know what song's playing in my head? The song from Cops, you know, bad boys, what are you going to do when they come for you? Because this is what they're going to be doing, isn't it? I mean, isn't this what leads into singularity? They control every avenue of society, and then they're going to control the human being by melding it with machine. Am I going in the right direction or not?
I think that's something that has a very possible future. It hasn't really happened yet, but look at China as an example. China is a technocracy today. People still call it they call them the Chi-Coms and, you know, the communist dictatorship. They're not a communist dictatorship any more than you and I are monkeys in a zoo. They are a technocracy. The global elite counts them as a technocracy. Parag Khanna says they're a technocracy. Time magazine in 2001 said they're a technocracy.
My goodness.
They're a technocracy. And you can thank Zbigniew Brzezinski for doing that, because when he worked for Jimmy Carter's NSA, he was the guy that brought China into the Trilateral Commission orbit. And they transferred technology to him. They wrote about it openly, transferring technology. We busted that scheme back in 1978. But, you know, here they are today. China is the perfect example of where technocracy is headed, because they've already been there. They've had at least 15-year head start. And you've got the most oppressive government, or not government, system in the history of the world. In China, they have ways to track and to oppress people like we've never seen in history.
Give me an example, please.
Well, okay. One concrete example, it was the article written about it from China. A young lady was a student at the university. I forget what it was, Beijing or wherever she was. She was a university student pursuing a degree. And she had permits for going to school. She had permits for living in an apartment. and she had some kind of income or stipend that they give her for being a student and stuff, so she can study and get real smart. And she made a comment along the way, made some snide remark on Facebook or something that was slightly critical of the government, and she got a visit from government agents. And they interviewed her for 2 hours, and she thought she convinced them that she was really a good, good person, and that she wasn't against the whole government and everything. So she went on her way, and 2 weeks later, she got expelled from the university. Nobody came and talked to her. They just expelled her. Then she got kicked out of her apartment. She lost her lease. She said, you have to move, and you got something like a week to do it. And then they told her that, since she wasn't going to school anymore, her income stopped. And all of a sudden, she's on the outside looking in. And she never knew it hit her. Never knew how it happened. She never knew it, but whatever. She got forced out of the whole system. Bang, bang, bang. Because they didn't like her attitude. They didn't like her psychological profile. And in China, what they're doing now, they've created the social scoring system that you could kind of liken it to our credit score. You know, if you got an 800 credit score, you're really good. If you got a 200 credit score, you might as well almost just go and die somewhere, you know. But they've got this social credit score over there that assigns a score to every person now in the country based upon their predisposition to support the country, to the system. And so if they analyze everything you buy and purchase, everything you say on social media, everywhere you go, they're monitoring people, tracking people physically everywhere in the country right now, exhaustively. And they know what you're doing. They know more about you than you know about yourself, and probably a few more things. And so they're artificially creating this social scoring system, where if you are a good little citizen and you score high, like let's say you get an 800, doors are going to open for you all over the place. But if you have a score of 300 or 200, you're going to be on the bottom rung for the rest of your life. That's ugly. That's scientific dictatorship. That's total manipulation of society.
Pat, I did a podcast, 2 weeks ago. And I talked about how Google and Facebook were partnering with the Chinese to do this. Mm-hmm. Were you aware of that? Were you aware the social media was involved?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Google has an office in China for artificial intelligence, by the way.
Mm-hmm. I know that. Yeah. But here's where I'm going with this. Mm-hmm. There are no border walls that can be built to block that concept and practice from coming here, because it's all electronic.
You're right.
And we could be a hop, skip, and a jump away from this. This is why net neutrality is so important. Now, let me ask you this. Did Trump, through his proxy and the FCC, did they do the right thing to help preserve internet freedom?
I don't think so. I hate to say it. I don't think so. I mean, it's a very complex argument, I realize. But I don't think we want to hand more power to the near monopolies that are out there right now, whether it be an AT&T or a Google or anybody else. I just don't think we want to do that.
Did you see where AT&T came out and called for government regulation of Google and Facebook and Twitter?
Yes, I did.
What do you make of that?
Well, you've got battling titans in the same space, and Google is no worse or no better than AT&T. Both of them are close to the intelligence community and work with the intel community. They're competitors here. AT&T just got a huge multi-billion dollar contract from the NSA for services. Well, that'll never see the light of day, but where the NSA is getting all these billions of dollars, I don't know. But they're basically competing with each other. So if one of the competitors calls for government regulation on the other, you notice they're not calling for regulation on themselves.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I have definitely seen that.
You know, I just, at this point, I just think it's competition. They want to stop the competition and get them out of their face. So let's regulate them. The insincere, yeah, it is.
How much do you believe in the ability of this kind of technology emanating from the social media giants and DARPA to basically exercise what we would normally call mind control? Is that real, or is this science fiction fantasy?
No, they're very close to it right now, David. That's what we're talking about. They're very close to it right now. And when you add on top of that all of the two-dimensional stuff that we're talking about, the things people read on a web page or they hear on a social media feed or whatever, that's two-dimensional stuff. When you add into it what's coming with enhanced reality and with this new artificial reality, virtual reality that's coming along, the human mind cannot determine reality from fiction. That's already been demonstrated with virtual reality.
At the unconscious level, as a former therapist, I can tell you that's true.
Yeah, and at the conscious level even. You go into virtual reality now, it's so sophisticated, and of course you got to have programs that run it, but you can go into virtual reality and you can come away with memories burned in your mind as if they happened, and you can't ever get those memories out of your mind. It is indistinguishable between reality, and young people are flocking to VR. You're going to see kids wearing these headsets now, you know, this year, next year. The whole lid is just coming off this right now because everybody has a product offering for VR headsets. And so, you know, when that really it's interesting. Hopefully this is a mature audience, but VR, virtual reality, is transforming the porn industry.
Not something I want to explore, but okay, we'll go down this avenue just a little ways. How are they doing that?
Well, when you put on a virtual headset and you're dealing with, you know, pornography issues and content is being fed to you, you cannot discern reality from fiction. And you will experience things as if you experienced them in person, basically. Be just like you're there.
Do you know that's the basis of hypnosis and how people block pain and so forth? And I won't bore the audience. I mean, I actually know the process. It involves blocking the limbic system, and I won't go into all that. But there's science behind what you're talking about here. I'm very, very aware of this.
Yeah.
And now they've found a way to do it. Let me ask you another question, and maybe this is kind of jumping outside the circle, but a guy named Jose Delgado, back in the 60s, and he went to work for the CIA for many, many decades. He actually demonstrated if you change the frequency of a signal going into the brain, you can change the behavior. And he first demonstrated it when he fought a bull, and that video is on YouTube, where he stopped the bull in mid stride by pressing an electronic transmitter that emitted an electrical signal that caused the bull to stop and passively walk away. And then he did the same thing with cats and dogs and helped control epileptic seizures, and then boom, he was gone. CIA.
Yeah.
Are we close to electronic manipulation? I mean, is Project HARP part of this, the beam signals down on us and control our thinking or our mood states?
I couldn't say, honestly. I don't have any direct evidence of it. Maybe it's possible, but when you look at all the other tools that they have right now that we know are working to manipulate people's minds, it's like, you know, how much more do we need to heap on? We don't need truth serum at this point. You know, it's like,
no.
They've got it. You have to interact with society. You have to do stuff. And people go out, you know, when they get up in the morning and they flip the TV on until the time they go to bed, when they flip the TV off at night, they go out, they do their job, they're getting all kinds of stuff out there. They're looking at the internet all day long. They're looking at their cell phones all day long. They're looking at their social media all day long. They're getting constant feed, a barrage of information from the man, if you will, whoever that is. And all that right now is completely manipulating a person's mind. It already is. It's propaganda. And propaganda has been well-defined for over 100 years. It hasn't changed. It's very effective.
Endgame. Is it possible to look at an endgame and say we're headed for something like the Stepford Wives, if you remember that old movie?
Sure. You bet, yeah. We're headed the same direction that China's headed right now.
No, I mean where there's a loss of internal free will.
Ah, internal free. Well, you know what? I think that's already upon us. I can't say that it's forced. Not forced isn't the right word either.
Conditioning, maybe?
Well, it is conditioning, but I wouldn't say that somebody can rob you of your free will permanently. That's what I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, they can't take your free will, your conscience or whatever, stab it and bundle it and whatever and put it in a grave where you're a zombie. I don't believe that. I believe people will continue to have a free will. It's just that it will be so suppressed that they would not dare to do anything to step outside the system. They just won't. And we see that almost right now when you see masses of kids walking down the sidewalk reading their social media and bumping into light poles. I mean, what can you say? They're like zombies. They're like zombies already.
Clockwork Orange.
Yeah.
Total conditioning. And for the younger people here that are younger than Pat and I, excuse me, Clockwork Orange, I think, is probably available on Netflix. I know it's on one of the Roku services. And people ought to watch this because it really showed behavior modification, manipulation, and brainwashing. You know, Pat, let me throw a revelation to you. And he's gone public on my show, not once, but several times. He's a former NSA agent, and his name is Vance Davis. And he told me in his training, and he was attached to NATO, in his training he was taught that what's going on is a battle between good and evil, blah, blah, blah. Okay, that's all nice. I'm not going to go down that road. But then he said the bad guys, he was told, were trying to gain control of what they would call the soul. And he said, that's an imposed term I'm using. He said, but that's effectively what they were talking about. And he said, since they couldn't manipulate that at that level, and they couldn't control the soul, extract it, destroy it, that, you know, because we're now in a spiritual battle here, according to this revelation, he said, then they wanted to destroy the human being by making it other than human. Do those words ring true to you? And he said these things to me in 1993. Before the word transhumanism ever became popular.
Yes. You know, if you read, I'm looking up a Bible verse right now. If I can find it here, I'm going to read it to you because, I want to say it's in Revelation 18. Maybe I can just go there directly and find it. just bear with me just a second here because what you said is just absolutely profound. Okay, I'm just going to go down here and say, here we go. I'm going down through some verses. Yes, okay. Revelation 18:13 is really the principal verse, but verse 12 starts out and says, talking about the system Babylon, says the merchants of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and all that good stuff and any manner of vessels of the most precious wood, of brass, iron. This is all what's being traded. Cinnamon, odors, ointments, and frankincense, and wine, and oil, fine flour, and wheat, and beast, I'm in verse 13, and sheep, and horses, and chariots, and slaves. Listen to the last phrase. And souls of men.
Oh, my.
You got to go read the verse.
Oh, I wasn't familiar with that, and I've spent a lot of time in Revelations, and I hadn't made that connection.
18:13.
I just wrote it down.
Yep.
I'd advise our listening audience to do the same. This, you know, our audience is predominantly Christian-based, loyal Americans, good people. And when they are going to, they listen to this, they're going to have a holy uh-oh moment.
Because, I think so.
Oh, man. Oh, and that just parallels what Vance told me. And, by the way, he said, I'm not going to do this stuff. And he was adamant about this. Well, they threw him in prison. Only problem is, he had created some dead man switches, and President H.W. Bush had to let him out under the condition that he wouldn't reveal certain things. But he's revealed a lot on the Common Sense Show. And yeah. See, here's what's amazing to me. He's describing transhumanism in 1993. That's 25 years ago. When did that term come into vogue, Pat?
Well, the word has been around for a very long time, but it really didn't catch on significantly until about 1995.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just he wrote a book called Unbroken Promises on that, and he detailed it. I just was blown away. I thought, this can't happen. And it was such a, I had such cognitive dissonance to these concepts. And then you come along, and I get real familiar with your work beyond the Trilateral Commission work that you and Anthony Sutton did, and you're talking about the same things, and I'm going, uh-oh, I think Vance is right. Because I didn't know what to make of it. He would tell me all these inside stories that were really cool to find out, but the real thing just scared the heck out of me. And then you come along and you're saying the same thing. So you say that they can't take away our internal free will, but how do they block us from expressing our free will? Is it by controlling our resources, like that girl in China that you talked about?
Well, exactly. And that's what you have. That's what you see in Revelation when you talk about the mark of the beast and being able to buy and sell. When you get blocked from being able to buy and sell, like they shut off your credit card or whatever your universal ID card, you walk in any store and they're just going to say, we don't know you. You can't buy anything here.
You know, I wonder, too, if they're someday going to block energy to your home. You can't get gasoline. You can't get a credit card. I mean, how far will this go?
It's already possible to go that far right now. It just hasn't. It will in China one day, I'm sure. And that, like you said, that technology has no border. It will come here. And you know, you have the interconnections are already made with big data that's been collected by the government, various government agencies and stuff. Take Oregon. We talked about Oregon once about its little black boxes they're putting in cars, you know, to track your mile where you go.
VMT.
So they can send you a bill, a tailored bill, just for where you drove. Did you drive on the freeway? Did you drive on a back road? You know, are you taking your bicycle to work instead? That sort of thing. And they want to make a tailored tax bill for every driver. Well, when they announced that program, I traced it back a little ways to see, okay, where did this come from? They didn't do it. I found at University of Iowa a slide deck that had been put together by a professor. He probably didn't know he put it up in public view, but I got hold of it. And he was one of the architects of that program over there in Oregon. And what they said in this, what he said in the slide deck was, that they were going to also use as a seed for the formula the person's carbon footprint to calculate the tax bill for their car.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, I know you know, can see the implications of that. Okay, where are they getting the data on the guy's carbon footprint? You know, like, in other words, how big is his house? How much grass does he have in his yard? What kind of cars does he drive? Does he travel on airlines a lot, you know, and flit around the country? They can calculate right now your carbon footprint without you knowing it. And they sign it. Once they assign it to you, that number can become a seed for anything that they want to control you with. If you're a good little citizen and you have a very low carbon footprint, doors are going to open for you. If you have a high carbon footprint, unless, of course, you're Al Gore, but if you have a high, your private plane, if you have a high carbon footprint, doors are not going to open for you. You're going to be biased against in the system because you're not a team player. You're doing your own thing. You have your own self-will. That's not allowed. Now, they already have that capability. Right this very second, they already have this capability. I haven't seen any direct evidence of it, but I would not be surprised if somebody, some research assistant or somebody, has gotten into one of these giant databases just to see if he could write a program that would calculate a carbon footprint for everybody that would be statistically valid. It would be inconceivable if somebody didn't come up with that thought. You know, computer science guy.
I agree with that. And then there's also the the social Marxist aspect of this that you described with that Chinese girl that was on the outside looking in. I just did a podcast on something that I found, and then I called one of my sources who I thought might know something about this, and they did. And they confirmed this anonymously, of course. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you what they told me is that ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, they have obtained the rights to a program from something called a company called Vigilant. Mm-hmm. And they now have the ability to do license plate reader, and they can track everywhere you've been, where you've been. They can put you with Confederates that they think might be like-minded rebels like you. Mm-hmm. And that drives what they call your threat matrix score up. And here we are with the scoring again. Mm-hmm. And your threat matrix score is too negative, then, you know, basically what happened to that gal in China can happen to you in America. And they're using it, though, through ICE. And so the immigrant groups, actually some immigrant groups, I'm surprised, found out about this, Pat. And they've been protesting. And I'm saying, I don't think they're really after immigrants. I think it's a beta test. Mm-hmm. What do you think? Do you know anything about this?
Yeah, I do. And I think you're probably right. Probably just a test to see if it's plausible. That's how these things get started. I mean, we watched Jade Helm take place here in Phoenix, well, elsewhere as well, but we watched it here. Jade Helm was a test of artificial intelligence and geospatial intelligence. They combined the two, and the only people that came to town were special forces, the brainy guys. They didn't bring grunts here to do that. They brought special forces in to measure their geospatial intelligence programs against a community that had never seen it before and never experienced it before. Because once you perceive that you're under surveillance where geospatial intelligence is concerned, where your movements are being watched, you behave differently. The whole society, the whole group starts to behave differently. So they had to have fresh territory, a clean city, to establish a test for geospatial intelligence or artificial intelligence.
Yes.
And I bet it was a successful test. They went away, and they've been very quiet ever since, except they're working away in their laboratories and their computer science centers and stuff to improve the software for geospatial intelligence. They're already using this stuff in China. China has something, in some cities, China has as many as one camera for every five people. You can walk down the street in constant view of some camera, and they ID you. Every camera can ID you now with facial, with bioidentical, recognition, facial recognition.
That's worse than Britain.
It's worse than Britain. Yeah. It is. And they're intending to install a lot more cameras, they say.
Oh, God, I'm afraid of what they would do with this. But this is downright frightening. To what end? Let me go back. I got a funny YouTube story for you, and then I'll bring this home. YouTube did a production called The Thinning. Are you familiar with that?
No.
Okay, and it's a two-parter, and I've only watched the trailer, and I've kind of glanced through the rest, but I need to sit down and actually watch it when I can find the time. But I've got the gist of it. And The Thinning is about a society that is bought into the depopulation myth and the food shortage myth and all that nonsense, and the United Nations is dictating. And they tell the countries, you must reduce your population by 5%. And given what you and I know, that's actually pretty generous. But here's how they decide. It. They give an electronic test of knowledge to a child, I would say at about age 10. I haven't watched the movie, but I just saw it from the previews. And if you fail this test, they drag you off and kill you.
Wow.
Yeah. And here's why I brought this up. What you're talking about is surveillance beyond any normal need to watch people to keep them from committing crimes or knowing who commit the crimes.
Oh, yeah.
Why are they going to these extremes? They're going beyond. It's overkill. Is it going to be like The Thinning? And by the way, funny story. I wrote a little piece about it, and I said, let's watch this together. And I said this to my audience, and let's compare notes. And YouTube demonetized it, even though I said it looks interesting and it was their production. They demonetized it. How funny is that?
Wow, that is incredible.
But do you think we're headed for a culling? Is that what this is leading to? Or is it just about extreme control?
No, the controlling is all underway already. Not by dragging people out and killing them, but demographic chart around the world is headed almost straight down. It's just incredible. There's only two or three people groups in the entire world that has an upward trajectory for demographics. Everybody else is down.
Muslims are one. Who are the others?
Muslims are one. Some of the South American countries are still, replicating at a fairly high rate. But America right now is below the rate of survivability. So is Europe.
Are we 1.8? Is that where we're at now? In other words, you have to reproduce at 2.1 to maintain your population.
That's right.
I've read
that's right.
1.8. Is that right?
I think we're a little lower than that now.
Oh, my.
There was just an article this week or last week that talked about, or the question, scientists are questioning whether humans will be sterile in 50 years. And here's the reason. Because they're measuring sperm counts, Dave.
Yeah, yeah.
And the sperm counts have been falling rapidly in the last 10 to 15 years. Nobody can really determine why yet. There are lots of social things or environmental things that we didn't have 20 years ago, like all the Wi-Fi signals and the radiation and stuff that you have just kind of transient now. It's everywhere. We're bathed in it everywhere we go out. It's in our cell phones that we carry. Anyway, sperm counts go into pot, so to speak. And, okay, so if the demographic curve is already pointed down and the sperm count is going down around the world, where's this population explosion going to happen? See, it's a lie. It ain't going to happen. All the stuff that all these people that are, repeating what Population Bomb said 50 years ago, it's just a crock. It's a total deception. There is no population crisis, and population is going to go down like a rock in the next 50 years if we last that long.
Well, and there's a social management to it, too. I don't know if you heard of this, and this will seem really insignificant until you look at the ultra effect. In France, they're going to make it illegal for a man to whistle to a woman or ask for her phone number.
Oh, I know.
And see, that's about demating. I mean, that's keeping the genders apart, which would lead to relationships, which would lead to procreation.
Yeah.
And there's a deliberate move socially to do this. And by the way, what you're talking about with the sperm, I've seen the term for this. I've seen descriptions of this. It's called spermageddon.
That's right.
And pretty clever term. Pat, the only thing that makes any sense is evolution hasn't had enough time to kick in and do this naturally. This has to be introduced toxins through the environment in ways that you and I don't understand yet.
Well, and there's certainly no care given for many toxins that are just thrown in anyway. Some of them are on purpose. A lot of them is just, I don't give a rip. Let's just put it out there and who cares. But just for kicks, let me read you out from page 218 on the original technocracy study course from 1934. This kind of fits in with what we're talking about. And I'm not sure their attitude has changed. They said, among the service sequences are education. This would embrace the complete training of the younger generation. They later called it generational conditioning. But it goes on and says, and public health, medicine, dentistry, public hygiene, and all hospitals and pharmaceutical plants, as well as institutions for defectives. Defectives.
and see, who gets to define what a defective is?
That's right. They never really totally defined it. But, back then eugenics was really big, and a lot of these people were into eugenics. That mentality still has not died today. There's a lot of people still completely bought into the idea of eugenics. And it's human engineering. It's what it is. That's all. It's just human engineering.
Well, the Russians used to throw people like this into the gulag. If you had a disparaging opinion or statement about the government, you must be crazy. You're suffering from political schizophrenia. I kid you not. And they threw people in the gulag under the pretense that they were being treated for that mental illness.
Yes. Yep. Yep. Well, we know today that there are many people who are disadvantaged one way or another. Maybe they have Down syndrome or, you know, MS or some other thing that makes them unproductive in society where they can't work. Those are the defectives in their mind. Hmm. The people that, that, for one reason or another, physical deformity, whatever, could not work.
In your research, when it comes down to people like you and me, the naysayers, according to the globalists, do you think they'll just outright exterminate us, or do you think they'll try to re-educate us first?
No, there's we're already being re-educated. That's what propaganda is all
I'm
about.
Not. Haven't you read my columns? I'm not being re-educated.
No, you and I are exceptions, and there's a few others. But remember, there's whatever over 7 billion people in the world that are getting, you know, brainwashed every day. They're being conditioned every day, and they don't have a clue of what we're talking about here. They wouldn't even be able to, you know, understand anything we're talking about.
It's amazing. Pat, we're just about out of time here, and I can't believe how this just flew. We need to do a part two on resistance. And I wanted to talk about resistance, but this was just too fascinating. I mean, there was just too much that came. I'm telling you, our audience heads are probably spinning right now. But anyway, we got about 30 seconds, so tell our listening audience how they can follow your good work.
Well, they need to go to technocracy.news and get on the mailing list if they're not already.
Okay.
And follow along with it. Read the stories. You got to be in it for about 6 weeks to really start to understand what's going on. And if you've never heard about Technocracy, go to my quick start guide. I created a special page just for you to kind of get a snapshot of what's going on here. Read that first if you don't know anything else. And then follow the articles.
That's awesome that you did that. That is so intelligent, realizing that everyone doesn't come to us with the same knowledge base. I really like that approach.
Yep.
Well, Pat, we're going to talk here quickly as soon as we break for our end of the hour break, because we need to do a part two on resistance, because we can't allow this to happen. Pat, thanks so much for joining us.
Sounds good. Thank you, Dave, for all you're doing.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to do a part two. I'm interviewing Pat this week. We're going to focus on resistance, but we're also going to have to focus on some other important things here for the rest of the show. Steve Quayle is up next, and I'll tell you, you're not going to want to miss what we're going to talk about.